Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers DFS and Betting Podcast with your hosts, Kyle Borgannoni and Matthew Betts.
Welcome in. It's the episode you've been waiting for. You're hot. You're thirsty for it. It's the mock draft episode, the betting mock draft on the Fantasy Footballers DFS and Betting Podcast. Betts, I have screwed up the intro, but we're here.
I'm just, you know, laughing a little bit here because you just let everyone in, welcome in, and you just called everyone hot. Listeners are hot, man. They're hot. So, you know, if you haven't gotten a, you know, nice compliment from your spouse for a while, at least Kyle knows that you're good looking. So, hey, if you're listening to this show, you look great.
Was it the Dynasty or was it DFS? They're all mixed up in my brain. Where I said that our listeners were on the run as convicts.
That was last week.
Okay.
Because we know everyone listens when they're on a run. Not the run, on a run. But last week, apparently, you know, people are getting in trouble with the law. They're on the run. DFS pod is blaring in the background. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, and I know there's people out there that are just yelling. They're just yelling at whatever device they're listening on. They're saying, Kyle, you didn't even give a nickname for Betts. You know what?
This is like the first time in 3 years, dude.
I know, and I was just so excited to get in this episode to announce what we're going to announce, to go back and forth. You and I really are going to brawl here. That's, you know, that's what we're talking about, is you and I are going mano-a-mano, going through the first 16 picks, and then we'll go through the over-under positions of some of the most important players, and we're going to battle it out, betting style. So I think what's different, if you're new to the show or you've never walked through a betting mock draft, it's a little different, okay?
Maka-laka ding dong.
Because Betts and I will be saying, here's what we think will happen, here's what we would want to happen, and then betting-wise, here's what you could do about it. And those things sometimes are three different scenarios, which sucks. Like, it's tough telling people something where you're reading a mock draft and you see, like, oh, this team really needs it. It's like, but betting-wise, it doesn't really make sense. Like, right now, the Saints, to take an offensive lineman, are minus 300. We're not telling anybody to bet that unless you really, really want to lay it, right?
I mean, at this point, I would not. That was one of the first ones we gave out during draft season, was minus 140 for them to take an offensive lineman. So, I mean, moving the line is no big deal. So I would have bet it then.
Moving the line.
I'm off my game.
Yeah, you're rusty. I would have bet it then. I would not bet it now. And, you know, we're getting to a point, I think, in the mock draft season, a week out, basically 6 days when you're listening to this, where the groupthink is at an all-time high. And I think it's a very good opportunity that unless you get very solid definitive information, which in this, you know, specific situation there really never is, to bet plus money situations, which I'm going to be targeting a lot over the next 6 days. And of course, you can get those on the site in our article tracker, as well as in the Discord. We just gave out one today, which I'm sure we'll talk about on the show.
Yeah, next week you will have your betting mock draft 2.0, so the one right before the draft. And so be on the lookout for that this next week on our website if you're a part of that. Couple of quick little announcements here at the top. You've probably heard on the main show, but we wanted to make sure that we said it again, that next week, immediately following the first round of the NFL draft, you can tune in for the NFL's first ever live fantasy reaction show. That's on NFL Plus. It's the Fantasy Footballers Draft Special. And Jason laid it out to this. We had a writer's call, and he's like, why are they letting us do this? Like, what idiot said the fantasy people could be on TV and they'd be okay with it? But apparently they like us.
I guess so. I was listening to the Move the Sticks pod just before we started recording. And every year, and I'm going to share some notes from this that I took away from Daniel Jeremiah. He meets with media members. They just do a Q&A session. He gives his thoughts on different prospects and, you know, team building and stuff like that. All of a sudden, an ad pops up. It's Andy talking about the NFL Plus special on Thursday night. I'm like, what the heck? Then all of a sudden it's Jason popping up. So, you know, apparently it's a big deal, Kyle, because it's on that show. So I'm excited, man. This is going to be a lot of fun for everyone. And, you know, we always get questions like right away. It's like, what does this mean for fantasy? Like, this is your chance to figure it out the night of when it happens. So I'm pumped. I'm going to definitely be watching that.
Yeah, and I don't know if you knew this, Jason will actually be on the Move the Sticks pod next week.
Really, really? That's good. Oh my gosh.
He had the same reaction. He goes, why did they invite me? I'm a fantasy guy.
I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, so we got a lot of good stuff. I'm actually just going to give another little article plug here. Next week, I am trying to give a dynasty range of outcomes for every single major player. Like, okay, if they go in this part of the draft, here's what this means for dynasty purposes. So you and I are just, you know, we're glued in right now. We're going to talk about the betting markets on this show, but we got a lot of stuff coming up. One more thing I want to mention is next week, Betts has a prior engagement, and we also have an engagement in the sense that the NFL draft is happening when we normally record. So if we were to record on Thursday and then it comes out on Friday, it would be the most worthless piece of content of all time. You'd be like, okay, why'd you guys do that? So we're going to wait and just record that Friday to give our reactions or betting reactions with Mike. So I will be in Arizona with Mike. We'll be recording that and releasing. So next week, if you hear our episode, you're like, where is it in my feed? I need it. I need to inject it in my veins. Well, you can do that later. Okay. So yeah, got a lot of stuff going on, Betts.
What a week, man. I love the NFL draft. The next, you know, 6 days to a week is going to be so much fun. And then for dynasty players, and you know, if you're doing best ball right now, like we'll have a landing spot, and then we have dynasty rookie drafts starting the Monday after the NFL draft. So I'm just excited. I love this time of the year for the NFL.
We did have something that is a bit of news. We don't break news on DFS and betting. That's not really our thing, but it's worth bringing up.
Breaking news.
You probably saw this come across your feed. I know Betts and I did because we got tagged only 1,000 times. But the NFL has announced that Applebee's is now the official grill and bar sponsor of the NFL. And to that I say, hashtag, not my grill and bar.
Imagine that being the one. Now, this hurts on a personal level, I will say. But also, like, Chili's, I mean, you got to pay up, man.
It was right there.
You got to pay up for the opportunity. So apparently Applebee's reached deep in their pocket to make this happen. But I'll tell you what, it's not my bar and grill.
No, definitely not. If I'm taking my family somewhere for a, you know, average to mediocre time out, I know where I'm going, and it's not Applebee's. I will say, former employee of Applebee's, Kyle Borgannoni, in college.
Is that right?
I think I lasted like a month, and I was waiting tables. I was like, I'm going to go work somewhere else. So I did not work there. And another fun fact for all those, you know, keeping score at home, you got your Kyle fun facts. I haven't eaten there since.
That does not surprise me at all.
No, not when you have Chili's available in your local hometown and you know what you can get and you can bank on. But yeah, it was a funny little bit that people were like, oh, what are you guys going to do about it? But I did have somebody that got really mad. They're like, oh, why are you even bringing this up? I was like, dude, this is a bit. This is fun. Like, it's okay to have fun and to laugh and to joke. But yeah, it we'll see. We'll see what comes up. We got some things in the works for the fall, but you know, We know this. Chili's is listening. And because they're listening, we're listening too. A little back and forth, Betts. You're a negotiator, right? You could do that.
Oh, absolutely. Put a little, you know, little note down a piece of paper, slide it across the desk. Your move, Chili's.
It's literally all they give you is like, you can have like a coupon for free chips and salsa. We're like, all right, fine. We're in. Let's do it.
We'll take it.
All right, let's get into the mock draft.
The Fantasy Footballers Mock Draft.
So, just to give you the lay of the land, this is a clash between what we want, what we think, and what we would do. And right now, we will give certain props. You can get them in the UDK Plus right now. We have a whole article of ones that we bet. Bets mentioned the Saints one that we bet, you know, a couple weeks ago. But on the Footballer Show, we go by player. Like, literally, like, this is what we think we're going to do. This is their predictions. We're not trying to just predict and just get it right from that sense. We're trying to give you information that you can use and that you can bet. So, we're not going to really talk about the Bears at minus 10,000 for Caleb Williams. And we're definitely going to say, sure, put a dollar on it so you can win nothing. Like, what? Like, you're going to have to lay so much. So, we're not going to talk about that. But any overarching thoughts about how we approach this from a betting perspective, as opposed to just, I'm mocking this player here?
Well, I think just go back to last year, right? I mean, we're a week out, and at this point last year, Will Levis was minus, I'm making this number up, but minus 2,000 to be a top five pick, right? Like, whatever you thought was going to happen, and you, when we see it over and over and over again, you just think this is what's going to happen. You think Dallas Turner is definitely going eight to the Falcons because imagine ever not putting that in a mock, right? But we know chaos ensues every Thursday night of the NFL draft. So my goal with this is not to just follow the chalk, but also, you know, mix in. I think this is probably what's going to happen based off what I've heard, what I've read, you know, what beat reporters are saying, team needs. But also, I'm going to throw a couple picks in here that I think are realistic that are a little off the board because I think there's a ton of value from a betting sense. So, you know, there's, I would say for every pick in the top 12 to 13, 14, there's like three or four guys I could pick for every single pick except for the first couple, right? Like once you get away from the top five, it gets really uncertain, I think. And this year, like I said at the top of the show, is a really good year to bet into plus money odds if you are going to bet on the NFL draft. I think right now the groupthink is at an all-time high, and I think a lot of it is probably not correct.
It's also, there's a domino effect. If you've ever done a mock draft, if you played around with different simulators, like Pro Football Focus has a really fun one if you just want to spend a couple hours just mocking for certain teams. But you pick one player at a position group ahead of another one. So if like edge rusher, if you, let's say it's Jared Verse who goes first out of Florida State. Is that possible? Sure. Like we'll talk about some of these markets. But if you put him there and, you know, Dallas Turner goes second, or maybe Byron Murphy of Texas is actually the first defensive player. We'll talk about that too. Like any of those orders is going to change a bunch of different teams. Same thing with the offensive lineman. I found that was the hardest part of the exercise for me to figure out the lineman behind Joe Alt. So just realize that like once you plug in somebody, it changes the order. Let's talk about trades real quick because I kind of have a personal vendetta where I just find it to be so hard and the data shows that in mock drafts, trades don't happen. I know they will. And it's really hard to not mock Minnesota to trade up. But for me in this exercise, I tried to not include trades knowing that they're going to happen. But how did you? Because we didn't even look at each other's boards yet.
Right. Yeah. At the mock draft situation of trading, you know, you wrote an article about it, I think last year, or maybe the NFL draft before. Historically, the actual number of drafts that take place on Thursday night is less than what is mocked, you know, consensus wise. Of course, there's going to be trades that you don't see coming that it depends on how the board falls. Like if a team loves a guy, they might go up three or four spots and grab him. If a team is offered a trade and they have a tier of players that they want to move back and they can still get a guy in that tier, they're going to move back, right? So it's hard to project those things. So I only did it for one spot in this mock, which I think is very obvious. And spoiler, I do have the Vikings coming up. But outside of that, I mean, anything goes here. In my mock 1.0, I had a trade that I think is realistic. I didn't have it in this one. I'll talk about it when we get there. But I think trades are a little bit, you know, too trendy because people like that stuff, right? When you read a mock draft. So you and I think, take a different approach when we do our mocks. But yeah, it's hard to predict. And I think it's one of those things that could go either way. But historically, the draft mock draft industry over projects trades.
Yes. And don't get me wrong. Like this exercise is so hard. The NFL gets it wrong on players, much less people guessing what they think the NFL is going to do. Right now on DraftKings, you can bet the total number of draft day trades. It's one of the draft props. The line is at 6.5. Over is at minus 125. I kind of like the under at minus 105 just because it's just taking an under in general, saying that like this won't happen as much. So not saying we're making that official, but also saying like I would totally bet that right now. Take the under.
That's so conflicting. It's not an official play, but also I would bet this.
I just lean towards them not happening as much as we think they're going to happen. When I did my research at the people that are the most accurate and the people most plugged in, Daniel Jeremiah, Dane Brugler, Lance Zierlein, Peter Schrager, like over the course of their mock drafts and then looking at their final mock draft, which by the way, like the final mock drafts are the ones that matter the most. You need to do earlier ones to practice, but the final one is the one we care about with Schrager and those kind of people. You know, the hit rate's like 10%. It's just so hard to guess which teams. And I think the Vikings are the one because they have two picks. But we did get intel that the Texans actually approached them for the trade. So that does complicate things a little bit. So definitely a tough exercise, but let's move past the Bears. And let's talk about the Commanders, because it's wild to have a consensus from every single person that's not from the Commanders. And then the Commanders are publicly saying right now, their general manager, beat reporters, ESPN beat reporters, like, they're not telling anybody. If anyone thinks they know what the Commanders are doing, they're stupid. So right now, Jaden Daniels is at minus 350 on DraftKings. That's a 78% implied total in terms of like implied odds. Bets, 78% is really high. I'm assuming that you don't have that same confidence percentage that the betting markets have.
No, I think this is one of the worst spots to lay juice, so I would certainly not bet this. You know, Daniels has been a guy, and we actually gave it out as an official play 3 or 4 weeks ago at like minus 115, where at that point, there was so much in terms of the signs pointing to Daniels being the pick. But as we learn over the course of time, things change, information changes. And right now, it's all national media members talking about Jaden Daniels at 2. Everything that I'm hearing is it's probably Daniels at 2. But if you recall when Adam Peters, who's the current general manager, was in San Francisco, we had this exact conversation, right, about Mac Jones versus Trey Lance versus Justin Fields, and everyone's like,
the GOATs.
It's Justin Fields. It's got to be Justin Fields. He's not going to tip his hand. And I truly feel like you probably won't know the pick until it's called on Thursday night. So this is one that at minus 115, I like Jaden Daniels because I thought the signs were there. At minus 350, I hate it. Now, I have him in my mock going there because it's you don't want to be the guy that's like, hey, Schefter, you're wrong. Hey, Schrager, you're wrong. You know, those guys are more plugged in than us, obviously. But from a betting perspective, I think the betting markets are way overconfident here. And I've actually come around to the idea of trying to hedge off this minus 115 that we have from a month ago and looking at a potential exacta of 1-2-3, where you can get, obviously, Caleb 1. I think the pick, if it's not Daniels, to me, I think it is May to go 2. And then we've heard a lot about if Jaden Daniels is there at 3, the Pats are going to take them. I also think there's been some rumblings of like, hey, maybe New England trades out. Apparently, Bob Kraft stepped in and kind of said, I want a young quarterback. And he saw what happened the last couple of years after Tom Brady and said, no, we're done doing that. So I think they stand pat and take whichever one is there. I'm not buying the J.J. McCarthy type stuff. So you can hedge out of this. I think it's a pretty good play to go Caleb, Drake May, and then Jaden Daniels. You can get that at plus 300 over on FanDuel.
Yeah, Drake May is plus 270 to go, you know, second overall. So Betts is just saying there's a better price if you get the exact order. I'm with you. I have Jaden Daniels from a betting, from a team building. You and I have been high on May. Doesn't mean we don't like Daniels, but on the Dynasty podcast, you and I were pretty bullish on May and his trajectory. The people that are basically saying like, oh, Cliff Kingsbury is the offensive coordinator. We know that Jaden Daniels could fit this. Like, Drake May was in an offense, an air raid offense, 2 years ago, and then they switched offensive coordinators. So he can do this. If you just read his story, Drake May, like, this guy was born to play quarterback, the youngest of four, athletic family, recruit, all this stuff. So I don't really think you need to have a football take here of like which team is going to do what. You look at the betting markets and you say it's kind of inefficient. So instead of 78%, where would you put it in terms of confidence that it's Daniels? I'm more like 58%.
I was exactly going to say the exact same thing. Somewhere
really?
Between 55 58? And 60.
Oh, okay.
57 and a half.
Nice. And for those of you, like, it's so important to put numbers with things and with betting.
Yes.
A lot of times you look at the totals, you're like, oh, it's plus 100. I'll just go for this. Or, you know, it's plus 270. That's great. I'll bet that. Like, you can find betting calculators out there that change it. And we're better with percentages as a, just as a group. So 78% is too high for me. And so therefore, I think that you have the right bet, the order.
Yeah, I think that's the way to play it. Now, this could change like as the weekend gets here, as next week gets here. A couple things I'll be watching for in terms of this exact situation is, you know, Schrager is pretty close with Cliff Kingsbury. Now, Kingsbury is not going to tell him, hey, this is who we're taking. But if you see in Schrager's final mock that it is switched to Drake May, that is a pretty strong signal to me. And you won't see that until draft day. And at that point, the price will be gone. So if you want to wait and think that maybe this team continues on Daniels and you get a better price, I don't think that's crazy. But I think it's a pretty good betting opportunity just to say, hey, these odds are probably wrong. Sure, it could be Daniels, but I think the market, like we said, is just a little overconfident.
Yeah, it was the same thing last year, right? With CJ Stroud, there was a moment where it was like, oh, well, Will Levis is the betting favorite, and then you're able to bet it. And then once it hit the day before, you couldn't do that anymore with CJ Stroud. So just keep that in mind. With the Patriots, we both have Drake May going there, and it's just a domino thing. Do you see a scenario where May falls below three?
I think it's possible. I mean, I do think the NFL likes JJ McCarthy. I also think we're overthinking it, and people in general are probably overthinking it with Drake May, similar to Stroud last year, where, you know, it was like, oh, no question, this guy's a top three pick or top two pick. And then all of a sudden there was just for weeks negativity and nitpicking his game. And then all of a sudden the NFL draft gets here and you're like, oh, yeah, he did go top three. Right. Like, I could see that situation playing out where, you know, he is very, very likely to go in the top three. If there is a situation where he's, you know, falling past three to Arizona's, you know, pick, it's because JJ McCarthy went in one of these two spots. I get that he's got a lot of, you know, believers and backers and truthers. I would just be really, really surprised if NFL GMs actually make that change and make that, you know, pick over May or Daniels, whichever one is there at three.
Yeah. And just remember, these NFL teams have zero incentive to share anything right now. I mean, to share about first round picks, much less picks are going to happen in the third or fourth round. I remember talking with somebody who was, I'll be nice, a pseudo beat reporter for a team a couple years ago. And they're like, they really, really like Mo Alie-Cox. They really like this player. I go, like, Mo Alie-Cox could go, I think he went third round, but it's like, just saying that out loud, how does that help them at all? And he didn't go to the team that they were projecting. Like, it's just so hard when players are later on in the draft to know that he'll even be on the board, who trades up, what's available, what's your situation. You've already taken that position earlier. So things change a lot. And there was a really, really good tweet. Alex Barth was quoting Bill Belichick, who was on the Pat McAfee show, and he said, accurate draft information doesn't leak from teams until about 12 hours before the draft. Most of the information this time comes from agents plugging their players, which makes sense. Like, their job is to sell their players. So they're going to say there's buzz about this player. You know, this team really likes it. The agent can say whatever they want. The teams, however, are a billion-dollar organization trying to protect their future assets. So that's my little rant, and I feel pretty good about, you know, what I share. Just, we don't know anything.
That's the take-home, and that's why I was saying you can take advantage of that in betting by getting a lot of plus money odds on this bet.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Man, sometimes I think I come across as like cranky, and that's not my goal. My goal is to like, let's focus on what matters.
You're just the old man, you know, yelling at the, what's the saying, yelling at the clouds or whatever?
Yeah, get off my lawn too at the same time.
Yep, that's you.
If you're, you know, while I'm outside. It's the Cardinals at four. Marvin Harrison Jr. is currently on DraftKings minus 190 to go there. This is also a spot where a lot of people have said, hey, they could trade this pick because GM Monty Ossetfort has done this in the past. He wheeled and dealed last year. He was at the third, and then he went back, and then he came back up and got Paris Johnson. So are you buying any of the wheeling and dealing stuff? Is this a JJ McCarthy spot? Because I don't know your pick right now.
I think it's possible that they move. I think we have to acknowledge that that is a real possibility, and it depends on who's there. If Drake May does fall to four, you and I were talking yesterday, like, to me, that's a spot where that pick becomes insanely valuable, and Arizona probably should move back because they will get a ransom for that pick. But when I look at this roster, they've got, I think, 11 picks in the draft in total. They don't need to accumulate more draft picks, right? Like, sure, they could, but at some point you have to, you know, sell a player to your fans. You have to get an actual guy that you can build around as like a cornerstone piece of your franchise. And to me, that is Marvin Harrison Jr., who I think is the best player in the draft. Other people have said the same thing. He's the most pro-ready wide receiver. You just plug him in and he's an alpha for Kyler Murray, which they really haven't had in quite some time. So to me, if Marv is on the board, I think that they stand pat and take him, because the risk is if you trade back, let's say with the Vikings, and you go all the way back to 11, you are not guaranteed to get one of those top three wide receivers, which I think this team needs. You could say, yeah, they go back to 11, but maybe they come back up to 8 or something and get one of those guys. But that, you can't guarantee that that happens, right? So I think they stand pat. I think they take Marv. I think I'm getting to a point where, like, anything less than minus 200, I'm getting close to betting. I think Marv is just that guy, and I think this team needs him that much.
We're on the same page here. And my heart wants Marv to go here, but also I think the Cardinals have done a good job not tipping their hand either. He's minus 1600 to go in the top five. So I think that's kind of where you and I see his floor, is he doesn't get past the Chargers. You know, there's obviously these are two teams that are candidates to trade, but I think wide receiver at four or five feels like it's where it's supposed to go. The only other thing that I looked at was, is there a scenario where McCarthy goes in the top three and then May is available at four? And I still don't like betting that in this spot because I hate betting players when you're banking on a trade for that spot. Yes, you can get really good odds, but you're trying to hit a crazy parlay that this is happening to this team and this other team does the same thing. It could work sometimes, but I think Marv at minus 190, I'd be willing to throw that out there too and go that direction. What do you have for the Chargers at five?
So I actually do have the trade happening. I have the Vikings coming up for J.J. McCarthy in this spot. And again, we don't do a lot of trades in this exercise, but I think it's one of the more kind of obvious situations that realistically could happen, especially when you look at the depth chart. You look at the two first-round picks that Minnesota has. And I talked about this a little bit last week, but you know, there was rumors that the Chargers were very willing to move back even before this quarterback trade-up situation was a thing from their beat reporters, like early on in the process, like late January, early February. So I think if the opportunity is there, they take it because the Chargers have so many holes to fill on this roster. And when you look at kind of where they could go when they get back into that 11-ish range, like there's still going to be so many good players that they can build around, get a great tackle. They'd be in the Bowers conversation. They'd be in whoever they want to take, a cornerback, I mean, an edge player, whoever. And they still would get another first round pick on top of that, maybe more. So I think that a trade is realistic in this exercise with quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, and then Marv, I have the Vikings coming up to take McCarthy at five.
It's interesting because if you just look at the market for pick five, so it doesn't say Chargers, it says number five pick. Malik Nabers is the current favorite at plus 220. Marvin Harrison at plus 275. But then J.J. McCarthy is at plus 275. And obviously the Chargers aren't taking him unless Jim Harbaugh just like, I love my Michigan guys. I got to go for it. But that's pretty wild in the betting markets that this is kind of what people are feeling, or this is what the books are laying for a trade. Like, I would not bet this at all at plus 275. I think there's an order that I would rather do if you want to get that, you know, exact order bets to find out what that is for Caleb, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Marv, J.J. McCarthy. To find those odds, I think you'd probably just get way better.
Yeah, I think it's 10-1 is what I saw on FanDuel.
Okay. Yeah, that just seems more likely. I have Malik Nabers going here at plus 220. I think that's a okay bet. I probably won't be doing it. Wide receiver, in terms of odds for them to take a wide receiver is plus 165, but it's minus 140 for them to take an offensive lineman. Do you think that some of that steam is just a little misguided? Because it's like, yes, this team wants their identity around, you know, running the football, but they have a left tackle in Rashawn Slater. And correct me if I'm wrong, you don't take a player in the top five of the draft unless they are a starting left tackle. That's the most valuable premium offensive line position, and they already have one.
Yeah, that's kind of the pushback that a lot of people have said about them staying at five and taking Joe Alt is they've already got a left tackle. Do you move one of them to right tackle? How does that work? Are you overdrafting someone to play only right tackle if you go somewhere else, which people say yes. So then that's why the trade I think makes sense, where it's like, hey, if we don't want to go take Joe Alt, let's go down, you know, 6-7 spots and we can still grab a right tackle, and then it's not as much of a premium. So I think that's possible. Like I said, though, like this team needs so much help. They need cornerback help. They need defensive line help. You know, wide receiver, obviously. Like Brock Bowers could be in the conversation for a team like this that under Jim Harbaugh, like they prioritize the tight end. So I don't think I would lay minus 140 for this market. But I do agree that it makes sense when you look at their line, their identity, and how much they want to run the football.
Yeah, offensive line is now minus 175 since I last looked at it, which just seems way too steep to lay here. We'll talk more about the offensive lineman. I think you and I both think Alt is the first one to go. But then from there, I think you could guess, you know, three or four guys. So maybe they feel comfortable saying, let's trade back. And we have two guys, three guys we like. And if they're at 11 where Minnesota was picking, they can feel good about it. So I have Marv, and then Neighbors here. And then at six, we have a team that on the Dynasty podcast we affectionately refer to as the Little Giants.
What kind of play you got for this situation?
How about the annexation of Puerto Rico?
Man, any chance? I'm going to try to just get as many 90s Disney like little movie like clips on this show.
Please do. Please do.
Okay. I mean, I've been known to add one here or there. It's the Giants at six. Right now, Malik Neighbors is the favorite at plus 145. So Neighbors is the favorite to go at either pick five or six. Their first pick is wide receiver minus 225, which is, I would never lay that. Roma Dunze is also another choice. So I don't even have Neighbors on my board. So I'm assuming this is where you took Neighbors?
Yeah, I've got Neighbors here. It's pretty chalky, but he's consensus a top five player in the draft, regardless of position. Some people have him top three. So like you're getting that blue chip talent here with Neighbors. I don't know that he's their guy. I think it's possible Odunze is higher on their board. We just don't really know. But I'm kind of following a little bit of the betting markets, a little bit of the signals, the way my board fell with the quarterbacks gone. And I will say, like, they've done a lot of homework on all of the quarterbacks in this draft. And part of me is like, is that posturing just because you want someone to come up above you and, you know, you have to say, I'm interested in these quarterbacks, otherwise a trade won't happen at five kind of situation. I don't really know. I do think, and we talked about this on the Dynasty show, if you want to go back and check that out, I do think it's possible they take JJ McCarthy if he falls. But at the same time, like I've said on that show, this team has not had a playmaker outside of Saquon Barkley as a pass catcher since really Odell Beckham left. So Neighbors or Odunze make so much sense here if they fall.
Yep. Bet says Neighbors. I have Odunze. Just to give you some stats, the Giants last year failed to have a wide receiver surpass 80 targets. And they were the only NFL team without a single pass catcher to surpass 21% targets per out run. So no alphas. Even Darius Slayton saying like, I don't really want to play football right now for you guys, even though I've been on this team for way too long. So a wide receiver seems like it's the pick. I do like, though, if the Giants are publicly putting out that they're doing their homework on quarterbacks, like that's a great tactic. Like I like learning about teams later saying, we put this out, this is what people wanted to do, so hopefully they trade up for McCarthy. We never really wanted him all along. Like that's what you do as an NFL franchise. There's no incentive to tell everybody, this is what we're going to do. We really like JJ McCarthy. It just doesn't make sense. Also, if they do move on from Daniel Jones, next year, they save $30 million. So that's on the table, at least. I'm not going to bet it.
I think it's possible. Yeah, I mean, Schreger had that in his mock. He's in New York. He's got good connections with the Jets. I'm not sure where he's at with the Giants, but he's local and, you know, he thinks it's a possibility. So yeah, I don't think it's I think it's a possibility that they take a quarterback if one falls. I don't see them getting up to three, you know, or two. Like it'd have to be four, really, I think, if this trade is going to come to fruition. But right now we got him taking wide receiver.
All right, Titans at seven. The favorite is Joe Alt. For them to take an offensive lineman, it's currently at minus 350. So you and I would not really tell people to bet that, just to give you some implied odds. That's 78%. I have Joe Alt. You have Joe Alt. Is that the chalky pick right now?
I haven't seen a mock in a very long time that doesn't have that. And when you look at their roster, it makes so much sense. Now, unfortunately, we gave out them to take a wide receiver at pretty good odds. Literally minutes before Calvin Ridley signed, I was like, are you kidding me? So they still need a wide receiver, I think, long term when you look at kind of the situation there. But right now, I think left tackle is a more pressing need after Calvin Ridley signed. And everyone has on their big board Joe Alt as the top left tackle. So it's chalky, but I think it's chalky for a good reason.
And there's a reason that you saw the correlation of we placed the bet, he goes to the team. It's simply because like we know that he was listening in, he got the alert. And if there's anybody who made some money off that. Yeah, I mean, Ridley made some money off that for sure. So Joe Alt there at seven. Is there any interest in any other offensive lineman here? Let's say that the Chargers do take an offensive lineman at five. Then the second one would go here to the Titans kind of in this exercise. So would you be interested in betting any other player to go to the seventh pick overall?
I think what's interesting about this pick is that if that scenario plays out where they do take Alt at five, which we said we probably don't think the Chargers do, but hey, anything's possible. The only other like locked in true left tackle prospect, because there's guys that can play multiple positions on this draft, is Olofashinu. who last year was supposed to be a top 10 pick, came back to school, didn't have as good of a year. Now he might fall to like the 12 to 15-ish range, somewhere in there. I think that's possible. Depending on what odds you get, I don't think it's crazy just to throw a little bit on it, but I don't think it's not a bet that I'm making necessarily.
It's interesting. So I did like a deep dive on him too, because he was the only other player that I could say, oh, this is where I want to put him. And I found out that he went back because his mama told him to. She's like, you're graduating. You're going to school. And, you know, he's probably going to be a top 15 pick or so. So it's fine. Penn State boy. So you're feeling good. And Caleb Williams, high school teammate.
Let's not forget. I mean, hey, if he's there at 9, did the Bears take O-line?
That is a fun little storyline. All right, so we both have Joe Alt at 7. I mean, let's talk about who my boys currently think is the best team in the league. The Atlanta Falcons. They are not. Everybody and their mama has Dallas Turner going here. I do not. Do you?
I do not.
Whoa, we have the same player.
Oh, look at that. That means it's definitely not going to happen.
Dang it.
Yeah, we both have Latu Latu going here at 8 to Atlanta. Now, if you're not familiar with this player, a lot of people consider him the top edge rusher talent in the draft. However, a few years ago, he was forced to medically retire because of a serious neck injury, had to have a fusion surgery on his neck. So there are teams in the NFL draft with that concern that probably have him off their board. That said, we talked about this a little bit last week. I've heard from multiple people kind of just over the course of the last couple of weeks that they actually prefer Latu to Dallas Turner. And even with that Daniel Jeremiah call that he had on Move the Sticks, he said there are teams that have Latu above Turner, and there's some teams that have Verse above Turner. So I think right now, the chalk of Turner to Atlanta, I just don't feel as confident as what the mock draft industry does or the betting industry does. I also think this is a situation where they could move back. Atlanta could. Yes. And one situation that I had in my first mock was actually the Jets just coming up two spots to grab Rome Odunze instead of the Bears. If the Bears really want him, if the Jets say, look, this is our all-in year with Aaron Rodgers, let's get Odunze and go for it. You give up, I don't know, you swap what, a third and a fourth or something later and just move up two spots and grab him. And then Atlanta moves back and they can still get Turner or Latu or, you know, Quinyon Mitchell if they want a corner or whoever. I just think the Dallas Turner hype right now is a little bit too obvious, and I don't understand why it's being mocked the way it is.
Yep, I'm with you too. You know, there's the connections, obviously, with him and his coach and the new defensive coordinator with the Falcons. But at the end...
Yeah, share that. Do you know the situation there?
Jimmy Lake?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy Lake was a coach at Washington when Latu was there. Now he was at UCLA. So there is this, like, connection, and Jimmy Lake has said a couple times, like, he's one of the most talented players he ever played with, you know, ever coached. It's really hard for me. I'm trying to separate myself because I think the Falcons should trade down and grab an edge. Right now it's minus 210 for them to get an edge as their first player drafted. So I lean that direction. It's kind of hot takey, though, to say that Latu is going ahead of Verse and Turner. But like you said, there are people who say just this is how boards shake out. This is a little different. So I don't really see the Falcons going anywhere else other than edge. Although cornerback, if they move back, is on the board if they're at, you know, 11 or if they're at, you know, 15 or something.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the makeup of the draft class as a whole, it's pretty top heavy with the edge rushers. And I don't think there is like a, you know, a top notch, top five pick talent in this class at edge rusher. But the edge rusher talent definitely drops off in the back half of the first, early second. And you can still get a pretty solid corner there. So maybe, you know, the Falcons decide that, hey, we can't get this edge rusher talent later. Let's take them now and we'll try to address corner in round two.
At pick 9, we have the Bears. If they don't trade out of this spot, and for me, Rome Odunze is not on the board, then I have them taking an edge rusher, which to me, the best player on the board would be Dallas Turner. And it's interesting because Dallas Turner is mocked so often to the Falcons at 8, his draft odds to go 9th are, you know, right now plus 700. So I kind of like that as a kind of, you know, little sprinkle, little kiss there. Dallas Turner to go 9 if Latu were to go at 8.
Yeah, and actually that's one thing that I haven't heard much about it recently, but I thought it was so interesting on Good Morning Football before they kind of took their little hiatus here a month ago, maybe, you know, Schrager was talking about like what a start for Chicago if they can get their franchise quarterback at 1 and at 9 get a cornerstone piece on defense opposite Montez Sweat. And he said it like multiple times in a period of 2 weeks. It's been quiet on that front since then, but I don't think that's crazy at those odds. I think 9 is realistic for Turner. I also think it's certainly possible Dallas Turner falls out of the top 10 if the board falls kind of the way I have it, which I've got Chicago staying here and taking Rumba Dunze. The drumbeat is just too loud that if he's there, they're going to take him, which I do kind of start to buy into with how they're building a young quarterback, but also Keenan Allen, you know, 32 years old, not under contract next year. So I think those two picks definitely make sense. And I think it's possible they also take an offensive lineman if one falls there that they actually really love.
Yeah. I think that it's a good value for them to take an edge player where usually you pay a premium, have to get like a top five pick for that. And a lot of people have Turner as their number one guy on their board. Last year, to give you some stats for the Bears, they generated 27% pressure rate on non-blitzes, worst in the league. Their defense converted 4.6% of their pressures into sacks, worst in the league. Yes, they got Montez Sweat, but even then, 24th in pressure rate. So I like them a lot there. The Jets at 10. Do you have Brock Bowers going here?
I do, and I hate it. Because
I do not.
Bowers to me is like Bijan of last year, where it's like, you know, he's a top 12 to 15 talent in the class, but just like there's not a lot of teams that actually are going to take him. So it's really hard to place him and feel good about it. And one of those teams is the Jets. Now, again, Schrager is very plugged in with the Jets. In his mock, he said, I keep hearing from GMs that I'm not high enough on Bowers, and he put him at 10. It's like, well, how high can he actually go, right? He's not going to go in the top five. But he's plugged in. He thinks it's a realistic possibility. And in my exercise where I have Odunze off the board, I think Bowers is a possibility here at 10. From a betting perspective, I would not bet that. One thing that I think is interesting, though, is you and I have heard that if he gets to 15 with the Colts, they are going to run the card in, and that's the pick. I mean, it's not terrible to play plus 350 or something like that on him to go to Indy, in my opinion. I think that's very realistic.
Bowers is so tough because you can make the argument like, you know, him as a prospect, here's why he's so good. And then I can make the argument of drafting a tight end early in the first round is just not worth it. And I could give you the contracts and all that data. So I don't really know where he's going to go. I don't have him here at 10. I have them taking an offensive lineman, and I switched three different names in this spot bets. Right now, offensive line is the current favorite for them. So I think it could be one of these guys. I did look at their top 30 visits, which I think is a good point to kind of pause on before we break, is every team has these visits and you're privy to some of this information. This team visited with this player, like the Commanders visited with all the quarterbacks except for Caleb Williams
at Topgolf.
I know, what a time, you know. I bet they had a great time.
Just the boys at Topgolf, man. What a time to be alive.
Who was like, you know, like an alpha, just like, guys, let me show you how it's done. Like Penix just bombed it deep.
I'm sure Drake May is a good golfer too.
Oh, Drake May is awesome at everything. Like in high school, he was good at every single sport. Jaden Daniels is probably like, dude, that's not my thing. I'll pound some cheeseburgers though. Or they're buying free beer for all of us. Cool. That's what you do at Topgolf. I have the Jets taking, I'm gonna mess this up, Troy Fautanu.
I've heard it said multiple ways, so that sounded close enough to me.
In where I'm from, we'll call it Fautanu, out of Washington, the left tackle. He is a left tackle that can probably play multiple positions, and he did in college. So the versatility is what I went with over a pure left tackle, your Penn State guy. So I don't know. I feel like it could be one of these dudes, and I'm probably going to guess it wrong, and it's going to screw up the next order. So, but Jets offensive line is what I feel most strongly about.
Yeah, I think it's definitely time. I think it's one of those picks that could happen. But you look at what they did in free agency and you say, yeah, well, they got tackles, but they're old, often injured guys, right? And you still have a 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers coming off a torn Achilles. So do you say we want to shore up the offensive line? Do you get a playmaker? That's the argument. And truthfully, I don't really have a super strong take one way or the other.
It's funny because I had him in my original like exercise going all the way to the Seahawks at 16 because he has that connection with Ryan Grubb from Washington. So I don't know. Like I could see him go 10. I could see him go 13 or 14 or 16.
Yep. I think anywhere in that range is realistic.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. All right, we're back. We're at 11. Betts earlier had a trade where he had the Chargers trading back to this spot at 11. I have the Vikings if they, you know, stand put or if they do move up. I have J.J. McCarthy. So we both have J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings. But tell us who you picked here.
Yeah, I've got the offensive lineman. I always butcher his first name, but I heard him in an interview. Instead of trying to figure out Talisi or however you say it, he said Tally. So I have Tally Fuanga here, the offensive lineman. Yes, and the reason I have him with the Chargers is just this dude is a mauler in the run game where it's like, hey, man, if they want to run the ball, maybe he's their top choice to play right tackle. PFF's highest graded run blocker this past year in both zone and gap scheme. So he can do it all in the run game. Very good, in my opinion there. And I think he could be a top, you know, offensive lineman on their board if they don't like the left tackle double up with Joel. I think he could be the play. So to me, he makes sense here, but I could see him falling to the Raiders or, you know, like you said, this offensive line is just so hard to figure out to the Saints. Like it's anywhere, but I have him there. I think it makes a lot of sense with the fit.
The Chargers are interesting because they have pick 5, pick 37, pick 69. I feel like they're going to have to take an offensive lineman, especially like maybe a guard type that can run this Greg Roman, or as Harbaugh calls him, Giro, the Giro gap scheme. But let's say they take wide receiver at 5. I actually do think they could find themselves a guard at 37 if they're not trading. But it's kind of like, okay, like you said, if they take somebody here at 11 with this trade, and I'm assuming you gave them pick 23 as well,
yep.
They could take a wide receiver there. So it's kind of like there's some combination of wide receiver, offensive line is kind of what we're thinking. But the Vikings, McCarthy, we both have that there. He can sit behind Darnold for a little bit and let Darnold, you know, do his thing and eventually not do his thing.
My only thing, though, is if McCarthy gets to this point and he's still on the board at, you know, 10 or 9 or any of those spots, then you invite the Raiders.
Yes.
I know the Raiders have said they like Daniels, but you invite the Raiders into the conversation and you really invite the Broncos into the conversation. So I think if in a realistic situation, if he gets past 7, maybe to 8, like then the Broncos are on the phones and they are trying like anything possible to get up there. So that's my only pushback on him falling to 11. But for this exercise, I get it.
Yes. No, I don't think he lasts to 11. I put him more with the Vikings than I did with like, you know, move up spots. But like, I think you and I would say the trade up spots are, I think the Chargers, Falcons, and Bears are the spots that like people could move up to. I think the Cardinals are going to stand put, but like those are the spots that people would move up to. I think there's a lot of smoke about the Patriots trading out of 3.
Yeah, I don't buy that at all.
All right, so the Broncos are there at 12. What a terrible franchise right now. Just awful. I found this stat out. Did you know that the Broncos had one pass catcher have a 100-yard game last year? Can you guess who that was?
That was Marvin Mims.
It was in week 2 on 2 catches, and then no one else did the rest of the year. Oh, man. They are just...
That is insane.
Their roster is so bad. So, right now, a lot of people have Bo Nix here. No chance that they're taking Bo Nix, in my opinion. I have Jared Verse here, the edge rusher. He fell here. You have Byron Murphy. Down with that, too. I think it's a defensive player here. I also think cornerback could be in play.
You name it. That they need it. Like this roster is, you know, in shambles, which part of the rationale for kind of how you broach this team now is you say, well, okay, well, we have to pick 12. Do we move back 10 spots, still get a good player and accumulate more draft assets? I think that's realistic. So I think the Broncos are a trade back team, but for our situation, we kept them here. I think D line is a need. I think cornerback is in play. I also think sneaky, like Brian Thomas is in play as like a dart throw here, just with the situation of the wide receiver room and where they're at. But realistically, I think D-line makes sense. Cornerback makes sense too. And it sounds like you and I are both just fading the Bo Nix situation.
I mean, they pick at 12 and they don't pick again until 76. So I think this team, I mean, Russ is accounting for 19% of their cap in 2024. And the dude is clearly not playing for them. So it's like hilariously, you know, bad how, you know, just this roster is terrible. So I think trading back makes a lot of sense. I'm not going to say, you know, bet wide receiver at plus 650, but I think it's interesting if they do trade back and they're in the 20s or something and a team does come up for like Penix or Nix because, I don't know, they like old quarterbacks because that's always worked out, then they're a good trade candidate. But we both have defense here And then the Raiders, excuse me, at 13. I probably have somebody different than you because I have, oh my gosh, we're on the same, how did we get here?
I don't know, man. This is what I had in my first mock and I really liked the fit. We both have Terrion Arnold,
man,
coming off the board.
I was going to come here feeling hot.
Which I think the consensus is offensive line, which I get. But Antonio Pierce did not go to a lot of pro days this year, and he was down in Alabama to presumably look at Terrion Arnold and J.C. Latham, their offensive lineman. This cornerback room is a mess. And he said early on in the offseason, he called cornerback a priority, a cornerback one a priority for this team. So I think it makes sense. I think the fit is there. This team also brought in Tre'Davious White for a visit in free agency, didn't end up signing him. So like they clearly are doing their homework on cornerbacks. You can make the argument I said earlier where it's like, you just take the lineman here and get cornerback later, possible. But, you know, Terrion Arnold is a guy that I think a lot of people have as their top corner in this class. Maybe it's Quinyon Mitchell, but the fit makes so much sense to me. I think he's a pretty solid play here at 13.
They're an interesting team if you search for their top 30 visits, and you can find that if, you know, CBS had a really good article where they just list who the guys are that they met with. There's some spreadsheets out there that if you want to look at certain teams, like they weren't meeting with anybody who was like a first round grade. And I was like, what is going on? Now, some teams like know what position they're going for. And so it actually like doesn't benefit them because that's public information that gets out there. Like this is who the top 30 visits are. Like every team can see that. Terrion Arnold was not one of those names. Quinyon Mitchell was not one of those names that I saw on the list. So his over-under is at 15.5. The under is at minus 125. So I think he doesn't make it past the Colts at 15, Terrion Arnold. He's plus 105 to go as the first cornerback. Do you like that one at all?
That one's, it's a coin flip. I think the odds are fair. I don't see a huge edge either way. It's just how these teams have, you know, Quinyon Mitchell versus Terrion Arnold on their board, and obviously we don't have that information. So, yeah, I think it's okay. I don't have a strong lean one way or the other.
The Saints at 14, we both have the same player as well. Usually, you and I are, like, not on the same page because we have some different, but I feel like we're kind of in step right now. We have Olu Fashanu, your boy from Penn State, the only true left tackle left on the board, and this team, like, Ryan Ramczyk is, what's the medical situation with him again?
So he's coming off of a knee surgery, and there was a report about maybe a month ago where he's not really where he's supposed to be, and there's concerns about his availability to start the season. And that could obviously linger well beyond week one, right? So it's like now you have those concerns. They used a first-round draft pick on Trevor Penning a couple years ago. He was benched last year. He looks like he's not going to pan out. So like they just need offensive line badly. And yeah, I think if Fashanu's there, I think he's the guy.
Yeah, they haven't plugged the hole really in free agency. Andres Pete is a free agent as well. So I think offensive line is minus 300. And I have them taking somebody who's a true left tackle. So the same place there. And then the Colts, I originally had Terrion Arnold. I went back and forth. We both have Quinyon Mitchell here, the cornerback. Is it kind of like if you don't think, you know, if you think Mitchell goes before, then Arnold would be here with the Colts?
I think it's possible. The other situation that I think could play out is they end up taking Brian Thomas. This team needs, you know, to add another, you know, complimentary playmaker to Michael Pittman to continue to help Anthony Richardson develop. And Alec Pierce obviously is not it. So Brian Thomas would make a lot of sense. He's a guy, too, that you look at how they've drafted with their current GM, it's all these high, you know, RIS, RAS players that are just super athletic. Brian Thomas checks the box. Quinyon Mitchell checks that box. Terrion Arnold checks that box. Like, to me, those are kind of the big three that I think could be there for 15 for the Colts. The other one, as I said earlier, is if Brock Bowers does fall past the Jets, I think he could be in play for the Colts as well.
Yeah, they need somebody to run nine routes alongside Alec Pierce. You know, just down the field and just run around.
Maybe one that actually catches him.
That's true. I mean, but dude, Cardio King this past year. One of the true Cardio Kings.
Unreal targets route run numbers for that guy.
All right, Seahawks at 16. This is where we're going to end it. And in Betts' mock 2.0, you'll get the whole thing. But we both have an offensive lineman for the Seahawks. It's minus 150. I'm not going to bet these players because it's really a guessing game of what the order is. You have, Fautanu?
Just say Troy.
Brian Boitano? I don't know. What are these names? who does have a connection with Ryan Grubb from Washington. And I have Tally, I'm not going to say the last name, from Oregon State.
Fuanga.
So any other thoughts on the Seahawks?
Yeah, they're an interesting team that has been rumored to trade back, which I think is definitely possible. And they're a team that I think, if the Bills do want to be super aggressive and go get Brian Thomas if he's on the board here, I think that is possible. I don't know how likely that is, but I do think it's possible. I hate the fact that my pick is so chalky with the connection. And a lot of people that are Seahawks plugged in and said, hey, if he's there, they are going to run the card in. But I don't think he's going to be there.
It's a
trickle-down effect, right? Of like, if this guy goes here, your entire mock is messed up. But the way I had the board, that's where it went. But I would not be surprised if he's off the board four picks earlier.
All right. I got something for us.
I want to play a game.
Betts and I are going to run through the over-under of DraftKings Sportsbooks, where the positions are for certain players. Some of them, we're going to just guess and say, I don't know. This is what the line is. And then a couple of them, we will kind of like go in and say, you know what? I could actually bet this. This is what I actually like. So, A.D. Mitchell, over-under 27.5. The over's at minus 120.
I would play under if I was forced to choose, but I don't think this is a play.
I would take the under two. He started at 17.5 on Circus Sports. I don't know if you saw that one. It was like, whoa, those are very different lines. Amarius Mims, the huge offensive tackle from Georgia, at 22.5.
I think I lean over, but again, I think it's a pretty good line.
Yep, I'd go over as well. Bo Nix, I think you and I would both take the over. It's at minus 200 of 32.5. I don't think he's a first round pick, but I would not be betting this at all.
No, we talked about this last week. The better way to play it is just to take under 4.5 quarterbacks in round one. You just kind of fade the number with him and Penix, and then you're getting a much better price. So I would not lay minus 200, but I lean over.
Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU, the wide receiver. The over is at 16, or over 16.5 is at minus 200. You just gave a scenario where he could go to the Colts. So would you take the under?
I think the under at plus 160 is kind of intriguing. You know, NFL loves speed. They love these guys. You need playmakers in today's NFL. The issue is, like you and I just talked about, like there's a lot of really good offensive linemen that are expected to go there. So it's one of those things that I don't think happens very often, but it's factoring into the price. And at plus 160, I think it's a decent bet.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Brock Bowers, 12.5. I would take the over because I love the value, which is all this is about, right? Is us just writing off on our taxes and to our spouses that we got good value at plus 135. He wasn't in my mock, if you didn't realize. He didn't make the top 16.
See, the thing is, though, is that I think he does land in the top 15. But the issue with this
12.5
line is that you have two outs, and really maybe only one, and it's the Jets. Like, I don't think he, I mean, maybe he goes to the Chargers. I shouldn't say that. It's possible the Chargers trade back and take him. I guess the Broncos are in play, although I'd be shocked. So I think there is good value on the over 12.5, but it's not a huge margin for error. Because, like I said, if he falls past 12, I think he comes off the board pretty soon. So, yeah, at plus 135, I think that's very much in play.
All right, I'm going to hit a couple more. Byron Murphy, this is one that you and I were talking about earlier from Texas. The over-under is at 16.5, and the under is now at minus 220. I feel like there's a different way to bet him.
Yeah, we gave out officially him to be the first defensive player off the board. There's been a ton of steam on him in the last week, I would say, just rising on boards and kind of being a guy that could sneak into the top 10. And with the top 10 supposed to be so offensive heavy, it's like, hey, if he does go top 10, there's a really good chance he's the first guy. We have it Latu. Some people have it Turner. It could be Verse. It could be a corner. But with how much he's rising and how heavily juiced under 16.5 is, I just think it's a misprice, relatively speaking. So we gave out, it was 14-1 on Caesars and FanDuel for him to be the first defensive player off the board.
Let's look at the J.J. McCarthy line. It's at 5.5. But we said earlier, the under's at minus 150. I feel like that's such a silly way to bet this. When you said earlier, like the draft order is a way better way to figure out if you think he goes to five, that you can just get way better odds because you can kind of figure out how it trickles down. So, you know, if it's Williams, Daniels, May, Marv, McCarthy, you talked about that earlier. What are those odds again?
We found that at 10-1. Plus 1,000.
Yeah, I see. That's just way better than going minus 150 for J.J. McCarthy. So that one's interesting. I was interested in this one. J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle out of Alabama. I almost put him to the Saints, but, you know, didn't really play left tackle. So I was like, I got to figure out where to put him. So what are your thoughts on him at 14 and a half? The under is at minus 175.
What's wild is like all these are like juiced to the under, right? It's like, well, this all can't be right because there's only so many spots. So you got to pick and choose your spots where you want to go. And this is not one where I would lay the juice because I think what you're saying is, you know, he is valued as that right tackle, which maybe teams don't have as high on their board. He could be a Chargers fit if they want to slide him in if they have him higher on their board. I don't know. Maybe the Raiders. But no one should be surprised by any order of which these offensive linemen go, whether it's, you know, Latham as the second guy or, you know, Fashion or whoever. Like, I don't know that there's any consensus. And for that reason, I can't recommend laying minus 175.
All right, a couple more. Latu is at 18 and a half. The under is at minus 200. It's weird because you'll hear from some people, he's off their boards because of his medical, you know, stuff. And then other people are like, oh, he's actually the highest on their boards. Whenever somebody says the phrase off their boards, I just usually don't pay attention to it. Like Bill Belichick said, like, teams are motivated to say we don't like a player to get people right off the scent. So 18 and a half, what do you think about that line?
I think he goes earlier than 19, but I don't want to lay minus 200.
Yeah.
So I would look for an alternative market to play it if you want to get into it.
All right. Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback's at 13 and a half. We gave the scenarios earlier of the Raiders at 13 or the Colts. I just don't love where his line's at. Plus 165 is intriguing, but you're basically having to thread the needle and say he goes to the Raiders or the Falcons take him at 8, if that. So is there any other way to bet Quinyon Mitchell?
I mean, you could play him as the first corner. It's a little juicy, but it's not as bad as, you know, what this is. I don't know. I don't have a strong lean on this. I think it's too much information up in the air and we don't really have a strong take. So I would probably pass.
Okay. And I'll give one more. We talked about Terrion Arnold earlier. It's at 15 and a half. I kind of like the under. I feel like minus 125 is not as strong as I feel like it should be. It should be more like minus 150 or I think he's a top 15 player.
Yeah, the thing is you just got to have multiple outs, right? And there's outs with, I think, if the Falcons trade back, I think the Broncos could be in play. They need a corner. I think the Colts could be in play at 15. I think the Raiders could be at play like we had in our mock. So you have multiple outs for this to actually hit. I think it's a fair play. Minus 125 isn't terrible.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of mocks with him, the Jaguars too, which is at 17. That could also happen. But anyway, that's going to do it for us. Next week, we will get to react live after the draft. I will be with Mike in Arizona. We'll be up super late with the draft and then up early in the morning. So next week on your feeds, it will come in on Friday. Bets, tell the people bye.
Yeah, man, what a show. This was a lot of fun. I love the NFL draft, and I hope everyone has an awesome experience next Thursday night. And hopefully you cash your bets. If you want our officials, get in Discord. We'll give you a few more there. But I will see everyone in 2 weeks. Enjoy Borg and Mike next Friday after round one. Good luck.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Fantasy Footballers DFS and Betting Podcast. Don't forget to visit us on the web at thefantasyfootballers.com.